The following is a production of Central Christian Center and Pastor Hank DeLott.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, you're good. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're so good and you bless us so much. We're just grateful to you. We're grateful to you. You're an abundant Father. You're an abundant Father. You bless us abundantly. We're going to start acting like it, God. We give you praise and glory and honor. I'm tired of doing stuff and having to look at a dollar sign. You know, when you go to the restaurants, you ought to read the menu from the left to the right instead of from the right to the left. You know, you ought to look and see what you want and not see how much it costs. You know, huh? Ken Copeland taught me that. But hey, seriously, you know, and we moved the tabernacle down front. I don't think we're quite done yet, but if you guys want to go and you can see the pieces, and there's a little thing that explains it all. We're making this way on Virginia there. We're making that one of our main entrances. We've got to put some carpet in there, and we've got to redo those stairs. That carpet's been there 20 years, and so anyway, we're going to be needing about $7,500 plus to do that. So if anybody wants to help with that, you feel free. We're not going to force you or twist your arm or nothing, but if God lays it on your heart to help with that, well, you just feel free. I want to talk to you today, and I know I forgot something, so I'll just have to remember it. If I remember it in the middle of a message, I'll just want to welcome all of you here. Glad you're here today. Glad all of you that are watching us online now. We're glad that you're able to see us, and we believe in God to bless you. I want to read you 1 Peter 5:8-9. I'll be reading out of the NIV today. But it says, "Be alert and be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the whole world is undergoing the same kind of suffering." Goes around like a roaring lion. How many of y'all know that we got an enemy? Have you figured it out yet? We got an enemy. He doesn't like us. And what we fail to realize or keep in our mind is that, you know, everything that happens in the natural, there's a spiritual force, there's a spiritual realm behind that causes things to happen, good or evil. There's evil spirits, there's good spirits, but it's as we reach into that realm with our faith that we're able to do some things. We're able to advance God's kingdom. But we have an enemy there that affects everything around us. He's constantly badgering us. He's constantly trying to get you. And Paul said it this way. He said, "For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." We've got an enemy, and you know, so many times we'll blame each other, or we'll blame somebody, or we'll blame the Republicans, or we'll blame the Democrats, or we'll blame this, or we'll blame, it's all Trump's fault. He's made all this evil in the world, and you know, I mean, we'll just do all this stuff. And but what we fail to see, and we as believers, we're supposed to start realizing this and doing something about it. There's an unseen world that's controlling all this stuff. And when the enemy puts things in your mind, he's trying to do evil. And when he puts things in people's minds, he can get them to do evil. But God, through His Holy Spirit's wanting to put good things in our heart and in our mind. He's wanting to use us for good. Just like the enemy uses some for evil. And God even loves the ones that are evil. Well, I'm not going to fight this thing all day today. Okay, if it falls down to my waist, I'm going to leave it right where it is, okay? But we fail to see that there's an unseen world. The devil, what he's trying to do, it says here that we can resist him by standing firm in our faith. We've been talking about this for several weeks. But we can resist him by standing in our faith. So what's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to compromise our faith. He's trying to get us not to believe. Or he's trying to get us discouraged so we don't think to believe. He's trying to cause things to happen in our lives so we get so busy concentrating on what he's doing that we fail to concentrate on God and what he says and what he wants to do. Does that make any sense? Peter says here, be alert, be sober-minded. He's out here, the Bible says that his main aim, the enemy's main aim, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And what he wants to do is he wants to steal God's word from you, because if you ever get that word in your heart and act on it, it'll cause him to flee. It'll cause him to run. And so he's trying to do that. And his main aim is to steal that word, to kill our dreams, to destroy our lives. But that's only half the verse. There's a second half to that verse, by the way. Jesus said, I came so you could have life and you could have it more abundantly. Now I'm going to tell you, you got an enemy that wants to destroy, wants to stop everything God wants to do through you and in you. And he'll stop at nothing to get that job done. And so the Bible says that we resist him. You know, the Bible calls him in 2 Chronicles or 2 Corinthians 4, says he's the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. He's blinded the minds of the unsaved. If you're here today, if you're listening to me today, and you're not saved, you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're not, if you died right now, you don't know that you'll go be with him forever, then he has blinded you. He's got you to think about something else. He's got you to put it off. He's messed with your mind. Folks, that's the only way he can conquer us. The only way he can do anything is to come to us and work on our thinking. And if he can get your thinking stinking, he'll mess your life up. If he can get you to thinking and focused on the wrong things, he'll mess your life up. And it's not just if you're not saved. Even after you are saved, if he can blind your mind to the truth of God, what Jesus did for you, he'll keep you from stepping in to all the victory and all the good that God has for you and wants to do in you. John 8:44 says, Jesus told some guys here, he said, you belong to your father the devil, and you want to carry out his your father's desires. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's not holding the truth. There's no truth in him. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's telling these Pharisees, you're letting the devil control your life. You're letting him be your father. And you're carrying out his desires. You know, there's only two sides to this fence. You're either carrying out God's desires or you're carrying out the enemy's desires. There's no in-between ground. You're either living for God or you're living for the devil. I mean, you've made one of them your father. And the only way he can get anything done in the earth is to get some of us or get some of the people on the earth thinking wrong and thinking evil. And the mind can just do anything and go anywhere. We're seeing that everywhere we look. But Paul said something in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunningness, that your thoughts will be led astray from the sincere, pure devotion to Christ. Do you see what he said? He says, he's talking to the Corinthian church here. He's talking to Christians. And he said, I'm just worried that you're going to let him get you just like he got Eve. I'm just worried that you're going to let him start pumping the wrong thoughts in you. I'm worried that you're going to lose your focus. I'm worried that he's going to compromise your faith. Because if you can believe, all things are possible to you if you can believe. It's what the book says. But here's the thing. You can believe wrong. And if you believe, you'll receive. But God wants us to believe right. You know, you listen to the devil, and he'll make you think that he's in full control. You'll make him think that he's controlling everything, and there's nothing you can do about it. But that's not the truth. God told us. God said, you know, he put us in a position where we could do something about him. He's given us everything we need to take care of the devil. I love what Paul's said in 2 Corinthians. He said, for the weapons of our warfare, he said, we walk in the flesh, but we don't war in the flesh, after the flesh. He said, we're human, we're fleshly, but that's not the way we fight back. He said, we fight back. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. He goes on to say those strongholds are in our minds. So you got to cast down those wrong thoughts. You got to cast down those imaginations. We need to resist and be. I was thinking of a title for this today, and I just decided to call it "Destroy and Conquer." Huh? Just destroy and conquer, because Jesus said in 1 John, he said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. We don't have to take a back seat. We don't have to let him get away with everything he's doing. We can resist him. And we start our resistance by submitting to God. I talked a little bit about that last week. But we start, you know, James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. Now that includes commit to God. Listen, if you're not committed to God, you're just on the outside looking in. Huh? If you haven't dedicated your life and committed your life to him, then listen, man, today's the day. That's why I'm telling you this. You can get it straightened out. You can decide you're going to live for him. You're going to obey him. But I like it. He says, submit to God. You know, God knows how much power you need. He knows how strong the devil is, and he knows that you and I need to be covered with his miraculous power. He knows that we can't defeat the devil without him. And he's wanting to take care of that in our life. He's just waiting on us to agree with him. He's just waiting on us to say the right thing. He's just waiting on us to believe his word, so he can move strong in our behalf. In the Old Testament, he said he looks to and fro, seeking, looking for anybody whose heart's loyal towards him, who's committed to him, who's dedicated to him, so he can prove himself strong in their behalf. Anybody here need a little bit of that today? If you don't need it, I'll take yours, because I need it. But resist the devil by submitting to him. And what that means is, too, is that I submit to his power in my life. I submit to what Jesus did. I realize I can't take care of you, devil, but I don't have to take care of you. I'm operating under the power of God. I'm operating under the anointing of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So you want to take me on, boy? Come on, big boy. I'll show you a bigger boy. His name's Jesus. See, sometimes resist just means get a little bit mad. You get mad at everybody else. You get mad at your wife. You get mad at your husband. You get mad at your preacher. You get mad at everybody else. Won't you get mad at the devil? He's the problem. You see... to submit to him means I'm just going to get as close to him as I can. You go on in James 4:7 and verse 8, it says, draw close to God and he'll draw close to you. He says, wash your hands of all those sins. In other words, he says, man, get the sin out of your life. Get the disobedience out of your life and start trying to follow me. Start doing what I say. Start letting me lead you. I want you to have some victory in your life. I don't want you just to destroy him. I want you to conquer him. Well, that's what Jesus paid the price for. If we live in submission to Him. See, I'm not counting on Hank. I'm not banking on Hank. I'm banking on Jesus. So, Father, I just accept your anointing. I accept your power. I accept your miraculous, your supernatural. I just accept that. And I'm going to do everything I can to live as close to you as I can live. Because I'm expecting that to operate in my life. And that's why He gave me His sword. You got to use your sword if you want to resist the enemy. We know the sword's the Word of God. Paul said in Ephesians 6, he said, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, or in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not fighting flesh and blood enemies. We're fighting evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. We're fighting against those mighty powers in the dark world and against the evil spirits in heavenly places. But no, when you put that armor of God on, they're no match for you. I don't like to hear people scared of the devil. Huh? I don't like to be afraid of him. Every once in a while, if I've got my guard down, he'll boom, and it'll scare me, and I'll jump. And you know, my jumping days are about over. He's about bluffed me out all he's going to bluff me out. How about you? Huh? He's given me his sword. He's given me his word. And this is the thing. I have to constantly be feeding this into my mind. I have to constantly be putting his word into my mind. You understand? It's our life. It's our lifeline. It's the only way we overcome the enemy. Everything else will pass away, but what God says will never pass away. So I'm banking on eternity, and I have to keep feeding that in my mind. I have to keep putting that armor on. I have to keep going after God. This word is strong enough to take care of the devil. It's strong enough to take care of all his schemes and all his, and silence everything he's trying to do to me. This word is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And I've got to put it in. It doesn't say I've got to be a Bible scholar. It doesn't say I've got to know everything. It doesn't say I've got to know what every Greek word means. It means I just got to put this word in my heart, because then when I'm in battle, when I reach out for something, I pull something out, it'll do him damage. You see, he's not afraid. The enemy's not afraid of Hank, but he's scared to death of Jesus. And Jesus is the Word. You know, I was thinking when I went in the army way back in the 60s, I guess. Whew. Y'all didn't know I was that old, did you? You thought I was just about 30 or 40 years old, didn't you? Well, I'm 50. But I wish. I remember when I went in and they drilled all this stuff in us, and basic and AIT, and they drilled this stuff, and I never heard such nonsense in my life. They made me do everything I didn't want to do. They tried to change my life, and they kept putting in there. They'd make me tear down guns and put them back together, and tear them down and put them back together. They'd make me run for 10 miles. They just did all this stuff. They were crazy. But when I got into battle, when I stepped off the plane in Vietnam, I said, "Woo, this place is real." And you know what I found out? I found out that in battle, you're doing things without even thinking about it, because it's been drilled into you. It's been put into you. And you know, man, they could lay a gun before me that I'd never saw before, and I could tear it apart and put it back together. And in tight spots and tight situations, it seemed like I would always instinctively do the right thing. Well, I must have. I got back. I want you to draw the analogy. I want you to understand what I'm saying here is I put this word in, I put this word in. I don't know why I'm putting it all in. I don't even know what it all means. I'm just putting it in and putting it in and putting it in. But when he gets me after me, when the devil gets after me, it just comes out. And one word spoken that God spoke does him in. Thousand words, Hank says, this makes him laugh, but one word God says, make him run. Well, so, see, I have to understand this, and the more of this I put in, the wiser I become. The more instinct I become, the more I'm able to detect what the trap is. The more I'm able to realize when he's lying to me. Now he'll put some of those thoughts that he got away with a year ago, he'll put some of those thoughts, and he was doing it this morning. I said, no, that's not right. That's not right. You see, I'm the only one that can stop that. This is what I want you to see today. It's your move. It's your move. Are you going to move God's direction? Are you going to move with his word? Are you going to take authority over the enemy? Or are you going to spend the rest of your life begging God to come do something about it? Well, you know, thank God he comes and intervenes, right? If he didn't intervene, we'd all be dead, wouldn't he? I mean, if he didn't intervene, I mean, sometimes I mess it up so bad, and he just has to come in and do that. But that's a temporary fix. It's when I get in and I learn and I perceive and I learn the traps and the tactics and then I don't fall into them next time. I know which booby traps not to step on. It's called growth. Huh? It's called being conformed into the image of Christ. And I tell you something, when I grow up, I'm going to be just like my big brother, my Savior, my King. Huh? When I grow up, I'm going to be just like him, and devil's going to run from me just like they do him. And then I have to realize right now that they already will if I'll just put him on. Well, and you know, it doesn't hurt for me to pray. I'm just talking about talking to God. Forget all the big words today. Forget what they mean in Greek. I'm just talking. God would just like to sit down and let us talk to him. He'd like to talk back. He'd like to spend some time with me. And you know what I found out? Me thinking about praying isn't the same as if I'm saying it. Me giving mental assent to it doesn't do the damage that if I speak the words. Let me read you Matthew 18. Says Jesus said this: truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth will agree about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. He didn't say, think about it. He said, do it. What I'm saying today is the ball's in your court. The ball's in my court. What did he say here? He said, whatever I will allow to happen on earth, he will allow to happen in heaven. Whatever I deny to have here on earth won't happen there. So where am I at here? He said, if you'll agree, if just two of you will agree on something, I'll do it. Folks, that's not agreeing. That's not agreeing for some strawberry ice cream. You know, that's not just us getting there and agreeing that these red chairs will turn blue. What's he talking about? He's talking about agreeing with the sword. Agreeing with the word. Anytime two of you will make your mind up and agree with what I said, I'll make it happen. See, so if you want to allow sickness in your home, if you want to allow sickness on the earth, then allow it. But if you don't want it, bind it in Jesus' name. Take authority over it in Jesus' name. You know, I've preached this ever since I've been saved. But I only understood and started doing it the last few months or last year or so. You know, I figured out that the devil can try to bring sickness to my house, and it'll look maybe sometimes like we got some of it, but I don't have to take it. His word says sickness and disease won't come to my dwelling. And this is my dwelling. You got to leave. Huh? I refuse to let poverty come to my house. See, I used to think, well, if Pam would just believe, she wouldn't be sick. Well, if she did, you know, if she just had the right confession. You know how we do each other? We tell each other, oh, yeah, well, you have what you say, you're talking wrong. That's baloney. Hold it. If I'm the head of my house, and devil, you ain't coming in. Now, I've let him in for so many years that he's not for sure I mean it yet. Am I saying stuff where he can understand it? But my mind's made up this time. No, you ain't coming. I don't just want relief. No, you're doomed. I'm here to destroy your works and to conquer you in Jesus' name. Well, So now I'm beginning to realize what this book's saying. He said, hey, in Isaiah 55, he said, I sent my word. My word will do what I sent it to do. Or what I sent it to do. He'll do what I said. He's just waiting for some of us to pray, some of us to speak the word back to him. Father, you said no sickness would come here. I didn't say it. You said it. So I believe it. I did my part, God. Now, are you going to do your part? Huh? You said I'd be the head and not the tail. I didn't say it. You said it. So I just receive it and I believe it. And that's what I'm saying and that's what I mean. And I'm not changing my mind. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. Yeah, it is good. You see, when I pray, when I speak that, it's the light going out. The gospel is the light of the world. And when I speak that, its light goes out. Keith put some lights up for me outside the other night and the other day, and I go out and turn them on, and it's like it's daylight. I put a lot of them up, you know. It's like it's daylight. What happens? That light penetrates the dark and the darkness vanishes. You get enough light in this world, you won't have to worry about how the election turned out. Are you hearing me? Huh? And you might as well quit crying over spilt milk now. You might as well just start believing God. Well, see, whenever I pray, whenever I talk to God, it reminds me that God's in control. When I'm talking to him and speaking his word, it just comes back. It just becomes real to me. I realize, hey, yeah, you are in control, God. I realize that you know everything about me and that you know everything about this situation. You're God. You see, when I pray and speak his word back, it builds my trust and my faith in him. It focuses my mind back on him. And by the way, it wins the battle. Huh? Prayer plus God's word always equals power. Huh? God's word, when it's spoken, that's why he said, if you confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. If you confess with your mouth, you'll go to heaven and not hell. If you confess with your mouth, you'll be delivered out of the hands of the devil. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, he'll raise you up. He'll heal you. He'll prosper you if you'll say it with your mouth and believe it with your heart. Now, I know we usually kind of pussyfoot around about some of this stuff, but folks, you guys are getting your hinies kicked every day, and I'm going to be telling you something that's going to get you through the battle. It's going to get you through into victory. This word is our hope. And Peter says, be self-controlled and be alert. I don't need to read it to you again. Be self-controlled and be alert, because your enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Just look at him and say, but you can't have me. He's looking to see anybody, and he has right to get us until we put on our armor, until we get over in Jesus, and we can stop him every time. Be alert, be self-controlled. That means several things, but one is I hold myself to a higher standard. I know I could do that and it'd be okay, but I don't want to do that. You with me? I know it'd be okay and you wouldn't be mad at me, God, if I did this, but it might be a bad witness. It might be somebody that's having trouble in that area might see me, and then they'll think it's okay and they'll be in bondage. I know it's okay, but see, I want to hold myself to a higher standard. I want to do what the book says. I want to shun the very appearance of evil. Stay with me. Be self-controlled. Be self-controlled. Keep your mind focused. Stay alert. Control yourself. You're not just some little reed blown in the wind. No, you're a child of God. You belong to Him. You don't just have to do every little whim and everything your friends say to do and everything your mind thinks to do. You don't have to do that. And every time the devil comes at you, you don't have to panic and run scared and, oh, what am I going to do? You don't have to do that. Get a little self-control. Pay attention. I promise you the devil is paying attention. Every day is a spiritual battle. The enemy never takes a day off. He's just sitting watching you and me and waiting for an opportunity to move into our lives. And if I choose to live carelessly, that opens the door for him. Well, I did it and nobody at the church knew I did it. And I have people come, some of you come tell on yourself all the time. And I say, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was happening in your life. I don't read Facebook. I didn't know that. No, but God knows it. And the enemy's going around, he's trying to catch us off guard. Does that make sense? He's trying to catch us off guard. He's looking for an opening. I've got to resist him. If I open the door, I promise he'll come in. Well. And you say, well, that's so hard, Hank. How do we do that? Well, that's easy. We rely on the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4 says, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. I love Romans 8:37. He says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Do you understand the way God operates now? He's not operating with people that don't know anything. Well, He is, because we're all kind of in that boat. But here's the good thing. The one that lives in me knows everything. You know, 1 John 4 says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That means greater is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me than the devil that's operating in the world. And I don't know everything I'm supposed to do. I don't know everything that'll happen. I don't know how to respond to everything. But you see, I've got a little still small voice inside here that'll tell me if I'll listen. If I'll not be afraid to hear it wrong. I was telling somebody a while ago, I said, hey, if you think God's telling you to do it, try it. But if he didn't, if you get there and you find out it wasn't him doing it, then back up. It's no big deal. You learned how not to do it, didn't you? You alive? See, we want some big audible voice, but it starts with that little still small voice in there. And he says, don't do that. Don't do that. It's not going to work out good for you. How many ever, you didn't do it, but you know somebody that did. But you heard somebody say, I knew not to do that. And I did it anyway. Here's the point. Don't did it anyway. See, I got a voice in here. I got a companion in here. I've got a friend for life in here that'll never leave me nor forsake me. And Jesus said, me and Daddy are sending our spirit to live in you. So now we can direct you from the inside out and you don't have to be directed from the outside in. That means we can communicate to you through your spirit and you don't have to worry about whether I feel it or whether I see it or whether I think it. You with me? You see, I have the same spirit on the inside of me that healed the sick when Jesus was here. I have the same spirit that set captives free. I have the same spirit that split the sea. I got the same spirit of God living in me that raised the dead. I'm telling you what, I'm feeling stronger already. And it's not me. I'm not banking on my power. I'm banking on his. I'm not banking on my intellect. I'm banking on his intellect. That's why some real smart people I think God would rather have some smart people than some dumb people. So I'm not knocking intelligence. But sometimes you can get so smart, you can be so smart that you think this all determines on whether you have it figured out or not. No, this thing's all determined by what my Father says. And you can be dumb as a donkey and he can use you. We've all proved that, haven't we? Well, you understand what I'm saying? I got a compass on the inside of me. I've got a GPS on the inside of me. I just need to learn how to listen. That's been my problem my whole life. How about you? I know how to talk. I just don't know how to listen. How many of you guys ever had your wife say, you never listen to me? You put your feet down back there. I just got to learn to listen. He knows everything about the will of God. He knows every bit of God's will for my life. He knows everything that's going to happen tomorrow. He knows everything I'm going through today. He knows all the baggage I'm carrying from yesterday. And he knows all this stuff and he's saying, Hank, pay attention to me and we'll just skate right on through all this mess. You need to know who you are. You need to know what the blood of Jesus did for you. You need to know the authority he gave you. And then that needs to be the word of your testimony. I love Revelation 12. It says, and they have conquered him, talking about the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. for they love not their lives even unto death. I love 1 Corinthians 15:57 too. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's through that blood. It's through what he did for me. I don't have to be afraid of the devil. I don't have to run from him. Now, if I'm not doing these things we've been talking about, and if I don't have my sword sharpened up, and if I'm not paying attention, and if I'm not talking to Father about it, if I'm not keeping my focus on him, if I'm not keeping my focus on what he's trying to tell me and what he wants me to do, then he's going to get me. The enemy's going to get me. But what I have to do is when all that guilt comes, I have to mentally cast that down and say, nope, I'm forgiven. I just have to, I just messed up a while ago. I know, but I'm forgiven. Yeah, but you know what you did. You know how bad it was. I'll do everything I can to correct it, but I'm forgiven. When that bondage comes and you just have to do that. You know, you can't lay them cigarettes down. You can't give up that booze. You can't now pot's legal, man. Everybody ought to smoke pot. You can't. Let me tell you something. When that bondage has you, when those thoughts come to you, you have to go, nope, nope, nope. Blood of Jesus set me free. Better hear me. If you think it's going to get better out here in the world, you're fooling yourself. I remember telling God 45 years ago, well, now, God, I could smoke a little pot and then I could still witness to people about you. He said, is that right, Hank? I said, yeah, I got this figured out. And he said, okay, then let's see. And I felt him leaving. I said, whoa, I changed my mind. No, come on. I know. I want you, God. All I want you. Better hear me. Well, I can drink a fifth of whiskey. It don't hurt me. Well, go ahead, but you're going to open the door for the devil? Will God hate you? No, nothing's going to separate you from his love. But there's going to be somebody else come get involved in your life. Better hear me. See? When I feel weak, I've got to know that through his blood, the blood he shed for me, his mighty powers are working me. When the enemy seems overbearing, I've got to go, nope, you're no match for my Lord, and I'm not going to stand here. This is all through him. I'm dealing with you through him. So before you get to me, you've got to go to him first. I'm doing all this through him. He shed the blood. He gave me. He's the one. Jesus, you're the one that told me you give me authority over the enemy and all his power, and that nothing would by any means hurt me. That's what you said, Father. I believe it. That's what you said, Jesus. I believe it. Now, devil, do you hear that? But I'm the one that has to cast those thoughts down. I'm the one that has to change my mind. See, I can overcome in life because he's overcome, but I have to make my mind up. And then I have to trust him because it has nothing to do with me or my abilities or my power. I just have to make the choice. Well, it's better preaching than you're acting like it. Let me throw this out real quick. And then I need to praise and worship. We just felt some of that a few minutes ago. That power. A story in 2 Chronicles. A king named Jehoshaphat. He had these guys coming after him. He had three countries coming after him all at once, man. And he didn't know what to do. And he went to God and he sought God. And God told him this. The gist of what God said was, don't fear your enemy. The battle's not yours. It's mine. And then I love what verse 22 says. Then you can clap. It says, and as they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Ha ha ha. All you praise and worship group, all you sing, you know what you're doing? Man, you just setting the pace. Because everybody that comes in here, we need God to set up some ambushes for us. We need Him to do some stuff for us. And praise and worship will bring that power on the scene. It blocks the enemy. It stops him. What was he praising? What were they praising and worshiping about? God had spoke to them. God said, the battle's not yours, it's mine. Don't be afraid. Just go on out there. I'm going to take care of it. And they went, praise God, glory to God. And they began to sing songs and praise Him. And it made God do something. Made Him do something. I love Paul and Silas. Let me read you them real quick. We're almost done. And if we're not, we'll just go till we're done. How about that? Paul and Silas, y'all know the story. They were in jail. They'd been beaten. They had them chained up. I mean, they'd been through such torture, our minds can't even imagine what they'd been through. And they'd been beaten, whipped, tortured, and they were all chained up, and it's hot in that old cell, and it's yucky. And this is what it says in Acts 16. It says, about midnight, did you get the message? They were so in such torment they weren't even able to sleep. Things were so bad they didn't get to lay down and take a nap. But it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and every bond was unfastened. I'm telling you what, praise and worship will cause an earthquake in your life. Huh? Praise and worship, man, praise and worship will get God's attention. I love the way David did. If you'll read the Psalms, and a lot of the Psalms, David start talking about the enemy after him, and he's after me, he's about to kill me, and they're on every side, and nobody cares about it. But he'd always didn't go back and say, but you, God, but you, I know you've always taken care of me. You've never let me down. And even though all this is going on, God, I praise you. You'll take care of it. You'll defeat my enemies for me. Just like you did Goliath, you'll take care of all these enemies. I just praise you. And David always won the battle. You'll always win the battle. Just shift over into praise. I'm not talking about praise and fear. I'm talking to y'all, oh God, I praise you. And then if I say this enough times, you'll do it. And then so I praise you, God. And I mean, it's terrible, but I praise you. I'm talking about praise, getting over into a realm of confidence. Glory to God, you got this one, Father. Oh Lord Jesus, you got this one, man. You're taking care of this. I don't see any results. I don't feel any results. I don't know how you're doing it, but I know you're working behind the scenes for me. I give you praise and glory and honor. Man, you're God. Nobody can stand up to you. Man, you paid a price, Jesus. Nobody can stand up to that price. Man, you've given me victory, and I just choose to have. You can't praise that way without getting on top of whatever it is that's on top of you. Somebody said the other day, I'm just under the weather a little bit. I said, what you doing under there? Get out from under there. Well, I'm just I'm doing well under the circumstances. Well, get out from under there. Praise and worship. I'm telling you what, God shook things up, and that brings us to the last thing. If you do these seven things, if you've submitted your life to God and to His authority and His power, and you've used your sword and you've gotten full of your sword, and you begin to talk to Him and speak His word back to Him, and you begin to control yourself, you don't just go on any whim, and you don't just do every little thought that comes into your mind, you're living for God, you're submitted to Him, you stay alert, you pay attention because you got that sword in you, you're paying attention, and you recognize that that's the devil trying to do that. You recognize he's trying to, you remember when he tripped you up the last time that way, and you remember all these things. And you're relying on the Holy Spirit to help you know what to do and when to do it. You're relying on Him even if you make the wrong move to get you out of the jam. You're relying on Him to lead you into all the truth God has for you. You're relying on Him and you know who you are. You know it's not because of you. You know it's all because of Jesus. You know it's all because of what Jesus did for you. What He did in you and what He's doing in you. You realize it's all you, God. I know who I am. And I'm just going to praise You. I'm just going to worship You. I'm just going to thank You, God. I might not see this victory, but this victory's already mine. I don't have to see it. I don't have to taste it. I don't have to smell it. I don't have to hear it. I know it because Your Word says it. And I believe Your Word, and I just praise You for it. If you do that, you enter in to His rest. You enter in, you trust Him. You trust His power. You trust Him for His protection. You're where Psalms 91, and I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but you ought to go home and read Psalms 91. Because when you do all these things, then you come to this place. Now I'm at Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He'll cover me with His feathers. Under His wings, under Your wings, you'll give me refuge. Your faithfulness will be my shield, God. Because You're faithful. Because You're faithful. He goes on in verse 11 and says He'll give His angels charge over me. If everything He's done hadn't been enough, He's got an angel for you. You ought to start asking God, God, would You let me see my angel? I promise you, you'll get to see him. You ought to start telling Him, God, let me see my angel. See, you knew when you fell that you should have broke something, but your angel caught you. You knew when you were in that thing you should have been devastated, but your angel helped you. I'm just saying, if we do all these things, what have I said? Submit to God. Use your sword, the Word. Pray, talk to Him, agree with Him, speak His Word back to Him. Be self-controlled and alert. Rely on the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. It's the very God living on the inside of you, and know who you are, know your rights, know what this Word says about you, not what those lies that are coming in your ear says about you. Know when that thought comes to you, you're sick, you're going to die. Know what the Word says and speak the Word back to Him. And then praise God because He's the answer. Just praise Him because He's the answer. Well, and you'll enter into that rest. Jesus said, my rest, I leave you. You can't rest. You can't rest if you're worrying about everything. You with me? You ready to quit? I'm ready to quit. I'm tired. Let me say, the devil's out to get you. He's going to take every opportunity he can. He's going to pull every trick out of the book. He knows every button of yours to push. He knows how he's always got you in the past. But you got the edge. You got the edge because you don't have to let him get you anymore. And as you go through that, I don't know, some of you going through stuff right now, you're not by yourself. God's with you. He's working behind the scene. He loves you. Man, he's taking care of it. Will you just believe him? Just start praising him for the answer before you see it. Just start thanking him. Just start being convinced. Man, God, what's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to stop your faith because your faith in God's the only thing that can stop him. Whoo, everybody stand because I got another sermon. I just felt another sermon come up in there. I don't think we can handle anything else. Hey, listen, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, maybe you're watching this online and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I want us all to say a little prayer right now, because if we'll say this prayer and mean it, Jesus will come into our life and He'll change our life. I want you to know when you die that you'll go be with Him. I want you to have that peace and that assurance. And I also want you to know that he's with you and he's going to help you through everything that you face while you're here on this earth. Huh? So pray this prayer with me. And if you don't know, pray this prayer and mean it and something will happen. Father, I want to be saved. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I give you my life. I want to live for you. Thank you for saving me. I give you praise and glory and honor. Father, thank you for your word that's been put forth today. Holy Spirit, bring these things to our remembrance. Cause us to hear, cause us to do. And Father, we know that you're the one that makes it work. And so we thank you, Jesus, for all you did. We give you this service and we just thank you for your blood. We thank you for the authority you've given us. And now, Holy Spirit, help us begin to walk in that. Hey, if you prayed that prayer or if you didn't and you want to be saved, come on down. We want to pray with you. I want to give you some information. Get on your way with God. Maybe you have something you just want somebody to pray with you about. Come on down. If you came today and you want to be baptized in water, we'll take care of that. We got robes and towels. Whatever you need. But if you need any kind of prayer, come on down, okay? Hey, I love you. Thank you so much for being here today. And I just believe God to bless you, and I speak His blessings into your life. And I'm believing this week you'll get closer to Him than you've ever been in your life. Does that sound good? Just say, I receive that. I receive that. Hey, I love you. Be here tonight at 6 across the alley if you can. If not, we'll see you next time. You have a great day and a great week. God loves you.